Okay, so a warning, these are long notices, okay, because I feel I need to talk to you all about the pandemic. But before I do, let me do the easy bit, which is just to mention some things that are coming up. First of all, highly recommended, come and pray. We have a day of prayer and fasting. We beat Donald Trump to this. A day of prayer and fasting, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. On Friday. You obviously don't have to be there for the whole time. Just pop in as you feel called. What's wonderful about it is on the hour, every hour, there will be something going on. So you can join in with that. So something a little bit more structured and formal. But for the rest of the time, just people can pray as they feel led. And of course, that really primarily is to pray for the current pandemic. I hope you've all got my rector's newsletter. Probably slightly optimistic, me listing all these forthcoming events. But who knows? But we are planning ahead. If you'd like to come to the Maundy Thursday supper, tickets are available, and there will be refunds given. Don't worry about that. If we have to cancel it this Sunday, next Sunday we're doing, I hope, confirmations and baptisms at the 6 o'clock service. Be lovely to have as many people there as possible. I am conscious, of course, that the government guidelines could change between now and then, and it may all come to nothing. They've decided to cancel the benefits lunch, I think probably for very good reason as well. That's next Sunday. That would have been next Sunday, so that's not happening. I think that's probably all in terms of notices. What I really wanted to talk to everybody about, and it won't come as a surprise to you, of course, is the pandemic that we now find ourselves in. We are, in a sense, living under the shadow. Now, many people here, my age or perhaps a little bit older, will remember living under the shadow of a nuclear first strike from the USSR. I remember as a child thinking, gosh, how far can I get away from central London, because that's where I was brought up, within the 4 minute warning. Probably Hammersmith, which wouldn't have done me much good. But our children today, it's really interesting looking at my three youngest, they're growing up in some crazy times at the moment. And I just wanted to share with you, we read a lot in the papers and social media. You're well away from social media at the moment, which is really quite scary. And how are we as Christians supposed to react under this rapidly spreading shadow of a deadly virus epidemic? It's a timely question, as some of us, if not all of us, are finding our plans in disarray. I'm sure we all know somebody who's had to cancel something or will be wondering whether something is going to happen. And when we listen to these grim statistics and read these horror stories, there's this ominous sense that the angel of death is on overtime. Industry talks about stress testing a product, putting it under severe stress to make sure it works as it should. And suddenly, almost without warning, we find ourselves facing a stress test. The unspoken question, I think, of our friends, certainly of my non-Christian friends and acquaintances on Facebook, and I am involved in some lively debate with non-believers on Facebook at this time, they're asking is, does our faith make a difference? Do we walk our talk? In an attempt to answer, let me offer you four things that I think should characterize our lives at the moment. And I am addressing Christians here, but let me say that if you're not yet a Christian, what better time is there to put your faith in Jesus Christ than now? So first, can I suggest serving? Now is a time that if you are not having to self-isolate, now is a time to serve. Now, it could just be picking up the telephone and ringing somebody you know who is on their own. It could be going out to do someone's shopping for them. You get my drift. The first thing is serving. The next one is sanity. Fear causes many problems, and one of them is a loss of the ability to make wise decisions. So let's avoid any wacky websites, rumors from unreliable sources, and any information that begins with, "They don't want you to know this, but." Any of you who've been on social media will know exactly what I'm talking about. Instead, we listen to sensible advice from people who know what they are talking about, preferably here, qualified medical experts. And we do have a recently retired doctor in our congregation, Andrew Gibson. He's not here now, but he was here at the 9:30, and he'll be later on. And he is the leadership team's go-to person just to run past all the guidance from the government, make sure we're applying it sensibly and practically as possible. So I think we're ticking that box there. Let's resist those who, in the name of God, offer us guaranteed protection or online virus exorcisms, or those who will confidently explain where exactly these events are to be placed in God's end time calendar of history. Okay, I'm not saying it's not the end of the world, but I'm definitely saying no one will know the time when Jesus returns. Jesus teaches that us quite clearly. No one knows that time. But the message is we need to be ready. We need to be ready for that time. We need to remember that we face what we face at the moment is probably no worse, and actually probably a lot better, than what most previous generations took for granted in those epidemics of flu, cholera, plague, typhoid, and the like that have arisen throughout history. It's important to remember that ultimately, where it matters, COVID-19 has changed nothing. We have received our orders from Christ. We are to be his faithful followers. We are to love God and our neighbor, and in all we do, show faith, hope, and love. Let's show sanity. Thirdly, I suggest we should display stability. We should be those who continue to do our duty. Whatever you're called to do, whether it be at home, work, or in the church office, continue to do it. Much has been made in recent years of the wartime slogan, "Keep calm and carry on." And much is being made at the moment of how, with fear-driven thefts of hand disinfectant and the panicked hoarding of lavatory rolls, that spirit has gone. It is shocking, the pictures you see on the news and in social media about empty shelves. I mean, why? It's just not necessary. What few observers have had the courage or insight to say is that attitude of keeping calm in a crisis grew out of a culture that had been shaped for nearly 500 years by the truth of the Bible. There we read very little about staying calm, but a lot about standing firm. St. Paul in particular constantly commands it. 1 Corinthians 16:13, Ephesians 6:13, Philippians 4:1, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 15 as examples. It's a good command. We who have put our faith in Christ, the rock, have an important role to play in these dark and troubled days. We should be those who stand firm as fixed and unshakable points amid a chaotic sea of fearfulness. So let's show stability. And finally, and to be honest, this is the big challenge, I would hope that we would seek to display serenity. Serenity is a state of being calm and peaceful, especially in the face of problems and crises. It is the peace that is one of the great blessings frequently promised in the New Testament, given by God the Father through the Spirit. It is offered freely to all who trust in Christ. In Philippians 4:7, Paul makes a wonderful promise, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. May we all claim that promise of serenity, live it and share it. What are we supposed to do? The answer is that we need to continue to live as children of God, putting our trust and hope in Christ and in the power of the Spirit, seeking to show service, sanity, stability, and serenity in all that we live, say, and do. And in doing so, may we, in the very deepest and darkest shadows, shine brightly for Jesus Christ. Amen.